My name is Noah. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from an addiction to pornography, people-pleasing, and a critical inner monologue. Yeah. So I don't know if you guys are like me. I know I am. I constantly have this thing going. It's like this ticker or like this just this conversation in my head that's just, hey, that wasn't good enough. That wasn't good enough. That, you know, that you should have done that differently. Great example. Last week I had a meeting scheduled on Thursday, and all week long I'm just thinking to myself, oh man, I should be more prepared than I am. I should be more prepared than I am. I should probably send out a message, you know, to the guys just to remind them when we're meeting, where we're meeting. I should have sent that out yesterday. You know, I didn't get to it. I should have done it yesterday. I should have done it today. Why didn't I do it today? And on, right? I know just every detail about the meeting, I'm kind of picking it apart, and I'm thinking, man, I'm a failure, right? And then I get to the meeting, and sure enough, it goes fine, and I was prepared as much as I needed to be, and more, and the Lord showed up like he always does. But I was thinking, man, why do I do this to myself, right? Like, why do I just keep yammering on in my head, right, about not good enough, not good enough? And I thought about this. So I've got a son, he's 4, and I thought, man, if my son talked to himself the way that I talk to myself, how would that make me feel? And I just, honestly, just that mental exercise creates a visceral reaction in me. Right? Like, you know what I mean? I start to kind of quake and tremble. I start to think about how terrible that would be, how I would want to jump in there and go, no, let me correct, no, let me show you, right? Let me tell you, no, you're incredible, right? What I would want to do is I'd want to take the picture that I have in my head about who he is. He's funny, he's sharp, he's hilarious, he's so stinking cute. When I'm with my son, like my heart is exploding. It feel like I'm speaking hyperbole, but I'm serious in that I feel like I don't know that I can contain how much I love this boy. I just want to squeeze him, right? That's how I feel about him. And so for me to imagine if he was to judge himself, you know, crestfallen, shoulders hung, condemning himself, how I would want to save him from that, and how I would want to give him the picture that's in my head, and I'd want to put it in his own head. And I think you guys know where I'm going with this. That's the way God looks at me. And that's the way God looks at you. When we beat ourselves up, and let me be clear here. I know that there is an appropriate response, a conviction of the Spirit when we sin. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that incessant nag, that obsession with every little thing that wasn't perfect, and how we just keep going, oh, I should have done that better. I'm no good. You know, I'm no good at this. I'm a terrible person. I can't believe I went back to that. I can't believe I did it again. I downloaded another image. I had another drink. I binged and purged again, right? And there's conviction from the Spirit, but then there's this, oh, I'm a terrible, terrible person, and God must be so frustrated with me. But the truth of it is, guys, God, like me imagining my son, God is looking at us saying, no, that is not true. That is not true. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you, right? I made you, and I reformed you, and I will continue to reform you as you continue to fall because I love you that much. Let me tell you just some of the scriptures, what they say about you guys. This is from Romans 8. First off, right out of the bat, he says there is no condemnation. You're not condemned, right? You are not condemned if you are in Christ Jesus. He says that we have not been given the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but we have been given the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba. That word Abba is the same word. It literally just translates to what a little, you know, child would say. Like when I come home, my daughter just goes, Daddy. God has told us we can talk to him like that. How crazy is that? Right, in 1 John it says, how out of this world, how foreign, how crazy is this love that the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God. But then this is the picture that I think God wants to put in our heads. This is from Romans 8, 29. It says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he, that is Christ, might be the firstborn among many brothers. So what he's saying here is that he knew you before the foundation of the world. He chose you, and he determined that he would be the one to make you into not just who you are, but into the image of his son. So when God looks at you, he doesn't shake his head. He's not going, oh, seriously, again, you blew it again, you did it again. He's saying, no, that I'm going to make him look just like my son, Jesus. I'm going to make her look just like my son, Jesus. And guys, that's an incredible, incredible thought. So we can lay down the lies, right? So when we have those tapes going in our head, we can choose. Am I going to choose what I believe, what I think about myself, or am I going to choose what the scripture says about who I am, who God has in his power made me to be and ordained that I would be? And that truly is to walk by faith and not by sight. And so tonight, guys, every night we see people beginning to walk by faith and not by sight, and it transforms their lives. So wherever you're at, I hope you keep coming. I hope you keep watching.